Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A Day of Reckoning features in all three of our lessons, and especially in the first two, the Day of the Lord. Is it to be feared or desired? Let's start out with the hardest one, today's gospel. Jesus is addressing his disciples privately. This is not a public teaching. He tells the disciples a story about great treasure. It is one of three stories he tells them to prepare them for the day when he will not be with them anymore. Jesus tells these three stories right before he enters Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die on the cross, where Jesus will experience being in the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But before we get to the hard part of the gospel, I need to tell you about talents. In Jesus' time, if you said the word talent, you were referring to the most valuable unit of currency that there was. A talent was worth between 15 and 20 years of wages. So if you make $30,000 a year, a talent for you would be $450,000. If you make more than that, I'll let you do the math. One talent weighed between 67 pounds and 133 pounds. It was a really big coin. You needed a wheelbarrow to cart even one around. In Jesus' time, people believed that all the wealth that ever could exist already did exist. If someone got richer, that meant someone else got poorer. So rich people were regarded even more suspiciously than they are today. Because the majority of the people, those who were desperately poor, figured that whatever the rich people took meant less for them. Also, they assumed that the rich people got what they got by cheating or stealing. In many cases, that was true. In Jesus' time, charging interest and receiving interest was against Jewish law. The law against usury referred to charging any interest, not just exorbitant interest. Also, Jewish custom was to bury treasure in the ground, like that third slave did. But Jesus and this parable turns accepted economic practices inside out. The rich man in this parable entrusts his servants with great wealth. The first gets 75 years' worth of wages, the second 30 years' worth, and the third 15 years' worth. After being gone a long time, the rich man returns and is pleased with the servants who took risks with the treasure he had entrusted to them. However, he speaks negatively about the slave who buried the one talent. And that was the appropriate Jewish custom. On top of that, he said that he would have preferred to receive interest. And that's against Jewish law. And you probably noticed how the third slave insulted his master. claiming that the master stole to get his wealth. And the master does not contradict him. Instead, the master seems to act in ways that cements his reputation, at least with that servant. So why would Jesus tell such a strange story? And I think perhaps Jesus told that strange story to get his disciples thinking about what they would do with great treasure. Perhaps they stopped to think, if not that day, then the day after Jesus' death, when Jesus himself was buried in the ground, that Jesus was being treated like a worthless slave in the outer darkness. Why was Jesus treated so unworthily? Jesus took risks. He gained great honor for God. He lifted up the lowly and despised. He shone the light of day on injustice and faithlessness. Jesus redefined who was worthy. Not those who kept the law, but those who trusted in God. And perhaps on that Holy Saturday, the disciples realized that they had been given a great treasure already, that Jesus had given the disciples God's forgiveness and grace, God's love. After Jesus' resurrection, they realized that the gift of grace that begins in this world continues through everlasting life. And is there any treasure greater than that? Perhaps Jesus wants his close disciples to take risks with the treasure of God's forgiveness, to spread God's forgiveness around, to multiply it by giving everyone else at least some. That is what Jesus did. Took risks to share God's grace to people who didn't deserve it, including Matthew himself. Matthew was a tax collector, and tax collectors were despised by the rest of the Jews, especially by the ones who observed the law, because tax collectors had to touch Roman money. And they were often accused of taking more than they handed over to the Romans. The risk Jesus took by welcoming Matthew had a huge impact on the rest of Matthew's life. Jesus took a lot of risks by ignoring the law and paying attention to need. Here, Jesus creates a new economy with new rules. Rule number one, taking risks with the great treasure of God's grace is excellent stewardship. Rule two, burying God's grace is missing the point. Through Jesus, God invests us with forgiveness. When we don't spread that grace around, God is hugely disappointed. But God's desire to punish is not as strong as God's desire to love. Jesus goes on in chapters 26 and 27 of Matthew's gospel to suffer and die. God does not punish the world for killing his son, the instrument of God's grace and love. And so, when we think of the prospect of the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, it should not fill us with dread. There are yet other reasons to not dread the coming of the day of the Lord. Paul comes up with his own images to describe the day of the Lord's second coming. While alarming, they should not fill us with fear. Paul talks about the suddenness of the coming of the day of the Lord as labor pains or a thief in the night. But as Paul says, we are children of light. We do not belong to the darkness. We trust in Jesus, who took the risk of leaving God's side to be at our side. We trust in Jesus, who was buried, but for whom that was not the end of the story. The Lord was Jesus' refuge and is our refuge. Amen.